providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Hey, welcome back. Top of the hour news break always interrupts the Cortland Economics Report, but that's actually fine. The news that's coming across in the 20 or 25 towns that broadcast our show on their local radio stations is very important. I hope you pay attention. Having said that, Jimmy, I want to talk a little bit about Speaker Pelosi and her grandstanding trip to Taiwan. Give me your opinion on that, would you? When I say grandstanding trip, I think that what she showed is I think that the mainland Chinese now totally understand that the United States supports Taiwan, come hell or high water. Was it a good thing to do it that way? What do you think?
Well, I will say that it was probably not a bad, it's a complicated problem, but here's what I think this was all about. It really had very little to do with reestablishing and reaffirming U.S. commitment to support Taiwan. More to do with domestic Democrat politics. The White House is looking very weak on China policy right now because there's been so many influences and of course with the Biden administration and the Biden family themselves, Chinese influences that have reducing potential Trump timeframe tariffs by allowing some of these sales of national oil reserves to China. Some of these issues are very significant to the voters in some of these key districts because they understand the problems with China. So my take on Nancy Pelosi's trip, it was really about domestic politics, trying to show that Democrats are still bold and against China. And I think it was probably coordinated with the White House, and the White House said, no, don't do it because we don't want to create these problems. But in fact, I think this was all about a political show and not so much to the Chinese. There are other ways to show commitment, weapons sales, sailing through the strait, a bigger commitment with military force, and actually coordinating with our regional allies, with partners that are concerned about China's expansion as well, the Philippines, the Australians, the Japanese. Those are ways to make very solid strategic statements and coordinated efforts through U.S. Indo-Pacific Command and other, concerned regional partners.
Yeah.
Grandstanding through this entire, in my view, is a fabricated media event to show that she's not weak on China, especially after her husband is making a ton of money on some of these investments in China.
Right. Well, let me ask you one thing. When you talk about a more overt way to show support, what about the Ronald Reagan? I mean, the big aircraft carrier that's over there, along with the flotilla of support ships.
Yeah, so there's always a carrier stationed in the region, and then we continually float them through the region, and that it's nothing new. It's not showing anything different.
I didn't realize that.
Yes, of course. We have carrier stationed out of Japan, and of course the Reagan moving over there. There's usually a couple in the region. So it is a bit of a statement. Part of it was, again, showmanship on the administration's part to position them there. And if, in fact, it was positioned there for Pelosi's trip prior to, then you could guarantee that it was a political staged movement from the White House in support with Austin's very political Pentagon. Rattling the sabers is probably not the way to solve the problem with China. Actually, economic power and using allies in the region and coordinating our efforts in the region is a much more effective way. And then actually being bold. The Trump administration was incredibly bold with China. They wanted to be partners, but at the same time, they said, hey, look, we're not going to succumb to your pressures.
Yeah.
And this is very interesting to watch the Chinese make these threats of assault and attack that reported, and I don't know how accurate the report is, but of potentially shooting down Nancy Pelosi's plane. That's ridiculous. But what I do see is a very weak Biden regime that is unable to have bold decision-making processes that might encourage the Chinese to take action as they feel threatened from the expansion of Taiwan's republic, the Republic of Taiwan, and their democracy potentially spreading into Beijing and other areas. There are numerous reports up to 400,000 people recently leaving the Chinese Communist Party. That's a significant number of party members because of frustration with their actions right now. And you're seeing some very difficult problems in China with the real estate prices. You're seeing the authoritarian control through social credit scores. You're seeing a lot of pressures on people. And of course, they've got that demographic issue because of the one-child policy where they've got a very aged population and not enough people to support them.
Right. So, Jim, I want to bring up some things that I think may help the Democrats in the upcoming election, and I want to get your opinion on these things. I waited for you to get back to really go into that because I wanted to see what you had to say. To me, some of these deals kind of make sense. Now, number one, I want to talk about the price of prescription drugs. Okay, Biden pledged that he would do something in terms of getting the U.S. dependence on China for our prescription drugs, diminishing that dependence. To me, that's a good thing. I want your opinion on that.
Well, I would say that it would be a good thing if, in fact, he was working towards that end. But I think this inflation reduction bill that they're putting forward right now for this weekend to argue over, which apparently is going to be a pretty crazy argument over the time, really is not that influential for that type of action. I think a lot of it is smoke and mirrors, which is typically what the Democrats say. So, yeah, he's saying a lot of things, just like Nancy Pelosi saying that they would support Taiwan. She's there. But the reality is, would they do that? Can you trust this administration to do that, especially
that
when they're spending like $380 billion on
green
energy products, which are just payoffs actually to Chinese companies?
I don't
trust them.
Yeah, no, that was the question that I had. But then let's get back to a couple of the other issues that he said they were going to do. Number one, chip manufacturing. The majority of U.S. demand for chips, instead of being met in Taiwan and to an extent in mainland China, he's going to move all of that manufacture back to the United States. Is that a possibility given the magnitude of that industry?
No, it's not possible. There are this bill that they recently passed will incentivize chip manufacturing here, but it's also, again, it's political payoff to different groups and organizations, and they're picking and choosing winners rather than allowing the market to dictate the terms. Now, there's no question having the dependency on the Taiwanese for chip manufacturing, sophisticated chip manufacturing, is a very dangerous strategic position, and it's good to see moving away from that. How that's enacted, once again, we'll have to see if, in fact, it's effective or not. And often these attempts by government influence are not anywhere near as effective as actual market forces and good decision making, and actually incentivizing through tax reduction and movement rather than actually giving people money. And that's what they're doing.
Well, that's a really good point. I thought that those actions probably made some sense on the part of the Democrats, but I had a feeling in the back
they
of my
sound
mind
good.
I had a feeling in the back of my mind that they simply sounded good, but the feasibility, the percentage of possibility that they would actually be incurred into the U.S. economy were somewhat limited, to say the least. You guys, we're going to come back. We're going to talk a little bit about the primaries, just to wrap up KER politics for this week, and we're going to talk a very little bit about the U.S. economy yet again. Stick around.